Well, welcome back, everybody. I think, are we going to affectionately refer to this as a holiday edition of the Three Witness Podcast? It is an annual holiday that is the week of the State AM, and we have gathered together in person, believe it or not.
I got to believe you're happier on holidays than you are today. But
did Notre Dame, like, lose a recruit this morning or something?
No, it's still the collarbone. He can't play football this fall.
You don't look bad.
I think he can't play football this fall. Yeah.
You've been doing your physical therapy and everything?
Posting scores on the scoreboard.
Right. Is that
physical,
working?
Physical therapy.
Finger therapy, whatnot?
It's helping. Believe it or not, I actually think working has helped it. Getting out and marking golf courses and moving it around, I think, is actually.
It's 90 degrees on the second day of the State AM at Abenaki, and our dear friend Matt's having chili for lunch. So
lunch at 3:30 in the afternoon. Dunkin' for breakfast, chili for lunch upstairs in the clubhouse. But
well, Matt, to your point, it is a holiday. It's a celebration. It's the 119th New Hampshire State Amateur Championship, right? So it is a great week for New Hampshire golf.
It is. It's a long week, but it's a fun week. And it's a week we're sitting here on Tuesday afternoon. And what is the rest of the week going to give us? And who wins this thing? And because it is a marathon, as we all know, and there's so much that's going to happen between now, what is a big day of cut day, and getting to 64, hopefully tomorrow morning to start match play, and then getting that whittled down to just two on Saturday for that final match. It's just crazy to try to predict what's going to happen. Anything can happen.
Well, and it's tricky. It's windy out there. The scores are higher. We have a special guest that I'll let Matt introduce in a minute, who's right on the bubble. Who's sitting here wondering what the heck's, you know, what the March number might be. But anyway.
And probably lamenting a three putt that was out there over the course of the last couple of days. But Ben Peters, Scott's son, really went through ran the gambit here. He qualified down at Brentwood, was medalist. I believe it's your qualifier, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we need a little, let's take a little minute on that one. Because 68 is no joke.
It is. That is a very good plan.
That's a fire score.
So Let's start with that. This is the second time you played in the State AM?
Second time.
So you've kind of been through it once at least. But what's your mentality going down to Brentwood? Is there a number in mind? Is it, you know what, just play solid and it'll take care of itself? How did you approach it?
Gosh, it's showing up sometimes hoping you're not going to shoot 85. But it's also just like, out there, it was so short and it was played so short. It was just iron, iron, iron.
So if I may interject, when Ben suggested it's short and it plays short, that's really totally an unfair sort of description, because everything for Ben plays short. I think to suggest Brett would play short is, you know, there are short holes, but it's not necessarily considered that short for the average golfer. And so for Ben, it plays short. But it's also tricky, as you guys know.
It is, especially the last four holes. Can you get yourself
and, you know,
a
four
lot
or five,
trouble.
Six through that little? So it's quirky. I mean, it's got a couple of shots here and there that are challenging, and it's a little weird off the tee. But I had younger brother on the bag, so he kind of made everything pretty easy.
It's actually the first time anyone's ever said Tom's made something easy.
That's true. That's true.
But,
well, and I feel like I'm taking this a little personally, because Tom on the bag was 4-under qualifying. I'm on the bag and we're on the bubble. I don't know. I think if Tom's fully embracing the fact, he would have been in. If I was on the bag, I can hear him right now.
Oh, so.
Well, someone might have a job secured tomorrow.
You've got to get a flight back from Florida.
That's correct.
I will say that short, long, windy, calm 68 is just good shooting, because it's nerves. Sure. You could have played in 20 of these things, or one of them, and you still have nerves in qualifying, and then surely when you step on the tee.
So yesterday. If I may interject, relative to, he tried to qualify last year, and we're at Beaver Meadow. He's at Beaver Meadow for last year's qualifier. And, you know, for Ben, Beaver's short as well. And so I think, well, you tell the story.
Okay. Yeah. It not also not a long golf course, and we're standing there on one. First shot, nerves. Take a 4-iron. I'm thinking, just punch it down there. It's a little left to right. It's about 330 yards or whatever it is. 4-iron, barely even grazed the top of the ball. And this thing doesn't get 6 inches above the ground. It is a screaming line drive and hits a tee marker that is no bigger than a quarter inch wide and then about 6 inches tall. Hits squarely off that tee marker, kicks about 20 yards back into a pond that I still think is just basically
decoration. There was a nice fountain in the pond.
I gotta believe I was the only one in that pond that day, and I might be the only one still in the pond a year later.
So. Surely in the pond off one, off maybe two one. And nine,
maybe
one.
Maybe yeah. two.
So he makes an eight on the 40-yard stretch of it that you mark that's worthwhile. Painting it where you went in is just aesthetics.
So he makes an eight on the first hole bead last year's qualifying, and then makes 400 this year. So I clearly think there should be some NHG award for the most improved qualifier award.
Well, I can assure you that there was no conversation about going back to Beaver for his qualifier.
There was no consideration for it at all. Saw it, skipped it, found a later date.
So fine. Had you played out here at Abenaki before?
No. Well, I played once on Thursday.
So, but before qualifying, you had not played out here.
No, never played.
So you qualify, you're medalist at your qualifier. You come out here to Abenaki. What were your impressions of the golf course? Having never played it before.
Greens are great. They're all awesome. They're good shape. I mean, the whole course is in good shape. Again, not a course where you need much more than 260 off the tee most of the time. I think I hit two drivers in 2 days or something, maybe three drivers or something like that. Great track. I like it. It's not maybe it fits my eye, but it was an awesome shape and the greens are all.
So. Yeah, it doesn't play to your strength. No, right. But it's so the average hitter here will love it because you don't need to hit it far. Correct. You just need to kick 250 off the
Welcome
team.
Welcome,
TK. Right? But I mean, it's 250 off the team you're all day long, right? And having it 300 yards is not an advantage. Yeah. So
right. I will say this, just jumping in on the Abenaki piece, because we all said we're trying to, like, describe what the course is. And this course is always in pristine condition. Like, if I leave here anytime after a round, I always leave saying, how is it always in such good condition? So I think that's the takeaway from Abenaki for me, regardless of the week, and I'm sure it's in even more pristine condition this week, is Pat Kelly and his staff just do a phenomenal job keeping it in good shape.
Yeah, the condition is not an issue. The trickiness of the course, and in fairness, if people wouldn't know who aren't here, it's really windy today, and it's really tricky wind. It's sort of a swirly wind, and so picking numbers was hard.
All day.
And so I think the scores are higher than probably you might have guessed perhaps before the tournament.
You know, I think the scoring averages are really about what I would have expected with, you know, I think the fact that the golf course is protected not by length, which in so many cases is obsolete at this point. There aren't golf courses, particularly in this state, that outside of one that I'm thinking of, where you can set it up so long that it's really challenging for everybody, no matter how big of a hitter that you are. So you don't have length here, but you have the green complexes, which are big. The greens are big. They're not tiny, old school, you know, really small greens. They're big, but they're fast and they're undulated and they're hard to read. And that combined with, especially a day like this, yesterday was relatively tame. But I also think a stadium setup. You know, the golf course was not set up, I would say, easy yesterday or today. We want to challenge the players who have qualified or were exempt into the championship with a setup that's befitting of the championship. So I thought 68 was out there yesterday for sure, and that's what Ryan Kohler shot. I did not think 65 was out there with someone making nine birdies.
And yet, with that in mind, not many were under par.
Correct. We only had three under par at the end of the day yesterday. The scoring average was about 79.5. After the morning wave today, it's up around 80, just a little shy of 80. So I think that was probably what I expected. We were not going to have scores like we saw at Nashua, where you had a lot of people under par and qualifying, because Nashua is same thing, not long, but you have very flat, manageable greens, right. And they were not at the speeds. Right. North Conway, same thing.
A lot of under par scores.
You know, James Pleat was, 62 at Nashua or something like that. You know, the reality is that's just not out here at this
point. Well, caveat to that, right? I mean, he's...
It's home course,
correct,
right?
Yeah.
So, well, the thing on my observation, and I caddied for Ben, and I was watching a lot of golf today and last 2 days, getting it pin high was very hard. Picking the right number, I mean, yardage, getting the right yardage was very hard. And so inevitably what that means is you had a lot of 30-footers instead of 15-footers or 40-footers. And to your point, the greens are tricky. And so instead of having, you know, what you think are green light putts, you're now, you know, there are a number of times, Ben, where you were thrilled with a two putt.
You're putting right? defensively.
All right. day.
So I mean, there were not a lot of green lights. And so you feel like you can get it, and yet the wind makes it tricky. And then inevitably getting to the right number was hard. And so now all of a sudden the putts are hard. And so it's sort of, you know.
Well, I was talking to Brett Wilson today. I think Brett admittedly didn't play great yesterday. And he talked, your margin for error is very small on this golf course. And I think what people don't realize is that at a place like this, when the greens are like this, when they're this fast, that 17 yesterday, hole location was right in the middle of the green. You've got a wedge in your hand. If you're above the hole with a wedge in your hand, that's a bad shot.
Yes.
Because you are going to struggle to make par from above the hole. And people tend to think, well, I've hit the green.
And by the way, above the hole doesn't mean past the hole.
Right.
It could be right or left of the hole too, right? Yep. So just put in context and people understand.
You have to keep yourself below the hole. You have to keep yourself in positions where you can putt a little more aggressively, because I think we all know when you start putting defensively and you get that first three putt on greens that are this fast and this tricky, it doesn't take long to get in your head.
Do you think anyone's played these 2 days without a three putt?
But there's no chance. That's it's just impossible.
Too. That's what I think too.
Let me ask a question on
course. You didn't have one?
One.
It's pretty good.
Pretty impressive. Yeah. Pretty impressive.
Yeah. On the green. Yeah.
Let me ask just a follow-up question on course setup. When you have 2 days that might be different, regardless if we're talking about today, that would actually be some other time where you're setting up a tournament, and you know it's going to be super calm one day, and the next day is just going to be a bonkers wind. How much does that come into play?
I would ask these two guys who are out there playing. I mean, there is a method to the setup, and there certainly was today. Did you guys notice what was different today versus how it was set up yesterday, particularly with tees?
Certainly there were some tees moved.
Yep.
Didn't really think there was anything dramatic, though.
I wouldn't have said
there were a couple of tees that were longer and a couple of tees that were shorter. But
so I think tee box around here is not a huge difference. Like out here, tee box here and tee box. I mean, besides hole 7, I think the tee box setup isn't a huge drastic change. It's only 10 to 20 yards, maybe.
Yeah.
I think the hardest part is just all of it's just getting around the green. And even if you hit a green, I mean, it was felt like defense all day, where you're just like, okay, I'm hit a green, I got 40 feet. I mean, try and make a two putt. And that's basically what it was all day.
So what did you do different with that question?
So the whole knowing the direction, generally speaking, that the wind was going to come in.
Which was similar to yesterday, though.
Yeah, it's southerly wind, south-southwest.
Yep.
Obviously, way more pronounced today. So 5 is a par 5. 5 was moved up a set because it was directly moved up a set. 6 is fine. 6 is downwind. It's not long anyway, so that could stay. 7 is a very challenging hole with a very challenging green, which we had moved up from the back box anyway to help promote the first 2 days.
And it's a difficult hole for sure.
Yesterday was the back of the middle box, and today it was pushed to the middle of the middle, probably getting another 10 or 15 yards.
And you're 9 on a front tee.
Nine was 160, but into the wind. That's probably playing all of 180.
That was a hard
probably.
Shot. No doubt.
And then 17, kind of moving played 5 up, 17, we par 5, we pushed back all the way.
But it was downwind.
But it was downwind. Right. And, 18 was, 18 is over the course of the 2 days has been the hardest hole. And
rightfully so.
That'll be a
dead
awesome.
Into the wind off the tee. And tricky when we, yesterday, Ben's got 135 or whatever the heck it was. And when we got out there, we're thinking it's downwind. Then we stood over it. It was now into the wind. Then it went right to left. It was a very tricky. Very tricky wind.
Because you're playing out, and then you're playing a completely different direction.
Right.
And you have that grove of trees that kind of protects it
in
the fairway. And then your second shot, you're going to get slammed by the wind because it opens up behind 15 tee over there.
So ignoring our guest right here and his 159 score. What's the number as we sit here with second wave out there?
I'm not predicting.
Don't anything. Be nice.
I'm not predicting anything.
You're not in the prediction game now?
No.
We're about to do our U.S.
There
our,
is. Pardon Mr. Open prediction. Championship. Just games. Because Rory's not in his prediction, he's not going to make a prediction.
Hi, Poppy.
You know what? In all seriousness, I think with the weather, it would be the hardest prediction that in the 8.5 years I've been doing it, that I don't know what to expect when these 9-hole scores start coming in, and our 65 yesterday shot four over on his front nine today. So
he was coming back to the field for sure.
I think the scores are going to be higher this afternoon, don't you think? I mean, they have to be.
But you also have a lot of stronger field. You do have a lot of good players who didn't play great yesterday who know that they need.
But there are 26 at 158 or better going into the afternoon. That suggests at least 158 or 159.
I would agree. I think that our 159 sitting here, I think there are three at 159. You've got it open there. Yeah. Three that are finished.
Finished.
So that's 29 at 159.
I think Cam Sheedy, a former finalist.
And Jim,
Jim Jankowski. I think Cam and Jim shot the exact same thing both of the first 2 days. So it's a high cut.
Yeah.
It's
is the Marsh going 1, 2, 3, 4, or is it a different lineup here?
So the plan is to go 1, 2, 3, and then jump over to 13. Yep. And then play down 14 if we need to, rather than going to 156 yard par 3 too, which I'm not crazy about par 3s for playoffs, but you're going to get a great
1, 2, 3 is perfect.
Yeah, and 2s couldn't be more fun.
You could always go right back to 1. I mean, right back to 2.
You could, a gettable short par 5 that's straight downwind today. Easiest hole by far over the course.
And yeah, hard green to hit in too, because you're going to walk
just the creek in the water make you
and
feel
the OB behind you.
Yeah, rock wall behind the hole.
Yeah.
So is there another tournament this week?
Not that I'm aware of.
Let me ask you a question on 18 tomorrow if we're talking about Abenaki. What a cool hole if matches actually get to that point, right? And you're all square or one up or one down in your match, and you come up to that.
It's a hard hole.
I mean, that is just – the tee ball is nerve-wracking.
Dead into the wind at least last 2 days.
Dead into the wind most of the time. You can't lose it right. You can't lose it left.
Right.
That's a good feeling as an amateur.
Yeah. And then you got a quirky – so you play safe and go down the right side, which is fine. You're in the fairway. Now you've got – 190.
Yeah, or more, right?
And by the way, the amount of players we had to a back right hole location yesterday that were over the green, which is dead to a back right hole location, or flirting with the parking lot, which is out of bounds.
You got the hazard, right? So you're like, don't be short. Be short, so that makes you go long.
I'll take an extra club.
Right.
But what I think is cool about the green is that you have that. And today we're front left. Yep. And so totally now different. The water is completely in play. Whereas yesterday you're like, don't even have to worry about it. Yeah.
That's a tough thing today.
It's a good green. I know a lot of people feel like that hole doesn't fit because it's newer, but
your thoughts personally on the finishing?
It doesn't fit, but doesn't mean it's bad.
Yeah. It doesn't mean it's bad. I mean, I think it's a fun hole to have to play, and it's a fun match play hole to your point that if you're getting to 18, you're either pressing to try to win the hole, trying to hold on, or you're all square and you're like, don't screw this up.
Yeah, agreed.
Because you'd love to go back to 1 and take your chances there rather than doing something silly on 18.
Really, in 17 is generally in the same ballpark, right? Because there's a little risk reward, not only on the tee shot, but on the approach, on your layup.
Right.
That's going to be an interesting finish.
We talked about this before, but the dynamic that you kind of feel that changes from the first 2 days, and for me, from a setup standpoint of like, you want a fair setup. You want it, you talk about the cut or what's low or what's medalist, but you want it to be challenging, but you want it to be fair for everybody. Sure. This is, and I think, a lot of times I will look at the higher end of the scores. When you're not trying to embarrass anybody, you want it to be challenging. And I think that's why a lot of people play every year because they know they're going to get a challenging setup when they come out here. So you're worried about all those different things. Is this a really good hole location? How many hard ones do I have out there? How many gettable ones do I have out there? But then you get to match play and the whole mentality changes of.
Well, not only in your play, but I assume in your course setup as
right.
well.
Right. It's, you can stick one someplace that is really hard. 11, right? 11 is a very long par 3 with a pond on the right side. Players have struggled with it both of the first 2 days, but you could go way back right there and push the tee so it's over 200 yards, but What do I care? Because it's one guy against the other. And absolutely. You know, they can both hit it in the pond.
Make five and a half right. And walk on.
Exactly. So your mentality starts to change. And it's the players that play this every year, and you show up Wednesday, and it's almost like the last 2 days for how long they are and how important they are. Didn't even happen. Doesn't matter what you shot. Yeah,
absolutely.
And I think in a lot of cases to a lot of players, it doesn't even matter how well or how poorly you played, because you have no idea what you're going to go up against.
Well, and I think in talking to Ben, and Ben, you can speak to this, but I mean, you were disappointed with how you played.
Sure.
And yet if you're given a new lease on life and somehow make the cut,
sure.
Don't you feel like it's a different animal?
I think, yeah. I mean, I think this course is probably – I think maybe a more enjoyable match play course in general. And I think it offers a lot of spots where you can then take a little more risk on out here. I think you know, maybe it's just me, but the last 2 days was just like, felt like defensive, where I think all of a sudden it opens up a little bit when you start playing match play, because you can take a little bit of this risk here and here, and, you know, a bogey's not going to, you know, a double's not going to totally kill you as much as it does in stroke play as it does in match play. And you're just trying to navigate it, but I would say it's probably a little more gettable in match play.
Well, and again, to I think Matt's point, you know, you shoot 159, you not feel great about how you play.
Sure.
But how often do you play great after playing a tough couple of rounds? And so now all of a sudden the 159 guy is showing up to the first tee in match play thinking, I'm playing with the house's money.
Right.
And the guy who just shot, let's just say, you know, I'll pick on Steck, who's one under, who's still, but my point is
the age looks.
It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable. But, you know, it's a different dynamic where now a 159 can compete against 143. Absolutely.
You know, where a savvy bet like Steck, where it benefits him, obviously, you know, in a lot of different ways. But when you're having on a difficult day, right, when people are breaking down and you're having a bad shot leads to a bad score, and then mentally you're just trying to grind through it, he's been through it, right? So, hey, stay in play. Grind through it. I'm sure he had a couple bad holes. I didn't look at his scorecard, but it's grind. It's a grind. A day like today is a grind on a golf course, and that's when he produced a good
score.
Well,
he's and you know a lot of the older guys, they're unfazed by this. He knows exactly what he wants to do and wants to accomplish the first 2 days, and he just goes out there and executes. And he executes.
Basically, well, you know, he said to me before he teed off this morning, he shot even par yesterday. He's in, right? He's going to be in after day one, sure to even par. But he looks and he goes, I take nothing for granted. And you know what? I've played a lot with Steck. I've been a partner with him many times, played against him many times. His approach to golf is a great way to play golf.
And
because there's no shot that he takes that he's careless. Maybe a better way of he's never careless about any shot. He may hit a bad shot, but we all do.
Yeah.
The next shot, he's never careless. He's just, you know, it's very impressive how he goes about his business.
He loves this golf tournament, doesn't he?
He does.
He really, I've noticed that maybe more in the last few years that he.
And honestly, this is a good course for him.
It is.
This is a good course.
But you can tell that there is, I mean, he took his loss last year at North Conway extremely hard for a guy that is, how old is he now?
62.
You know, and.
He didn't want that on the air. He told me, but it's okay.
you know, a lot of guys would look at 62 and say, you know, I'm going to go keep playing, but I don't have any expectations.
But he still hits it far enough. He still plays well enough. There's no weakness. The only weakness is if we were playing at 7,200 yards, and maybe it might be harder for him because, you know, he played with James Bleek the last 2 days, and he said he's 30 yards behind James.
Doesn't James is also stupid long. But.
Agreed, but my point is it doesn't matter here.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's only one hole where it matters is two as far as yardage. Because every other hole, he'll get to at least the 150 mark,
yeah.
Right? And so it's a good course for somebody who isn't as long as they used to be relative to the field.
How are people playing the fifth hole? Do you see a bunch of other groups play?
Yes.
Five lengths can come into play, too.
If you're willing to take the risk.
Right, you can get there in two if you can favor the right side. Right.
And Kohler did make an eagle there yesterday.
He did. He did.
That was the one eagle. There was actually less birdies there than I. Is that the one that less birdies than I thought?
Into the wind.
Of course.
Yeah.
Was that why?
I would tell you it's pretty aggressively into the wind. Like, tees were up today.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, we stood there on five.
the water seemed more in play because of the
it was up. So into the wind.
You know, it's so like interesting no because that was kind of an unintended consequence of, okay, this whole, and then I said to them, like, all of a sudden the pond's in the wind, or pond's in play now. And that's going to change the dynamic of standing there. You
know, I think it should be.
Yeah.
That well, I didn't. Well,
you know, my first, it should. Well, they have yeah, to, they're going to have to think about it now. And maybe it doesn't
change. If there change. Was no wind yesterday, it was in play. Yeah. If there was wind today with a tee up, it made you think.
Oh, totally. I all of a sudden tee up there. And then to be honest, we saw a decent amount of people on five attack 12.
Right.
Just bomb it over the right trees and just take out the pond entirely. Yeah. So they hit it there, and I don't know where they laid up from there, if they could, if there was a shot or whatever. But
that's the whole new concept.
Like, that was a lot of
Oakmont, yeah, in the air,
and they're like totally take on. Yeah,
yeah. Course designers love hearing that.
Yeah, they do.
I just play it down 12.
Yeah. Guys who set up the course love hearing that too. That's great, and somebody's gonna get killed too. Yeah. That's perfect.
Usually, when I'm playing down 12, it's not intentional.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, right. Oh, different strokes for different folks.
But yeah, it's like I said, it, and you guys know, it's you get to match play, and just anything can happen. And you know, we can go through the leaderboard here and talk about favorites, but you know, James won his second in a row last year, and I believe on Thursday morning he was taken to 22 holes by a college kid.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's, you're on the razor's edge right there. That one bad swing, one missed putt, and that's it for you.
Right.
You know, Harvin played great in qualifying last year. Played Kurt Edens, a Seacoast guy in the first round. Very good player. I think Harvin was winning after 9 holes, lost the match. And so he's done in the first round.
Right.
Really, really accomplished, talented player. And that's the thing with the draw too, that there's the randomness to where people end up and what they shoot, and how many times one side of the bracket is ridiculously strong and loaded with good players and past champions. And
which maybe is the part other of the side charm of match play, yeah. And I forever will believe it's the best format for amber golf. I know there's some quirkiness to match play, and people want it for, you know, four rounds of stroke play, but I don't know. I'm forever embracing the match play quirkiness of it.
Totally agree.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that there is that randomness to it, I think that, look, you sometimes it's no different than the waves, right? You know, we talk about a good draw. And actually, I think, speaking of that, I think the draws were probably pretty fair.
I agree.
Pretty even. The early guys yesterday with
Not as much wind. But more wind now.
And you guys had more wind in the afternoon, which is obviously more normal. And a little bit less, certainly first thing in the morning, it was pretty calm.
It's typically going to be the Seacoast norm, you know.
So. But yeah, the randomness of the draw too. And it's always fun when you get done looking at what some of those really intriguing first round matchups are that you might have said, those two guys could be playing each other on Saturday, right?
Well, that's like, you know, one of my good friends, right, Sam Natty, and you guys all know him that plays every. He's had some just bad luck draws a handful of the last years where he comes in top side of the bracket and like a defending semifinalist comes in, matches up against him on the bottom side of the bracket. Right. Just kind of play a little bit under their average in the qualifying, and then boom, they catch their stride.
What is the hashtag you're trying to get trending with Sam?
Big Daddy Natty, are you in?
Yeah. Sure.
We're in. What does that mean? Are you in?
I don't know.
Sure, I'm in.
Big Daddy Natty. Okay. First of all, their post on the NHGA social channels was 10 titles for this featured group, and I think Neil Karst has 9, Stevens has 1, and Big Daddy Natty, you do the math. Sam, so
he brings us so much joy in other ways, though.
He does.
He really he's got different titles.
He's got staff comedian. That's what he is. Big Daddy Natty.
He played good today.
He played great. Right?
Good. Tommy Keene on the bag.
Tough conditions.
Oh, I thought Steve Hesser was on the bag.
Yesterday. Tommy today.
Okay, so
TK was on the bag today.
Who's on the bag?
The other TK.
Yeah, the other TK. Oh, the elder statesman.
To be determined. I don't know. I think he's lodging with TK, so maybe you get a back-to-back. I don't know.
That's interesting.
And you mentioned Mark.
This is the first Tom Keene reference on the show. So congrats. Welcome, Tom, to the show.
As opposed to the Tommy Keene.
Yeah, as opposed to the Tommy Keene tournament, or Smalls Keene, who's in West Virginia. So.
Is that where he is?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Didn't know he had West Virginia roots, did you?
Country Road.
Take me home
to the place I belong. Okay, here we go.
Are you going to keep
your intro open now? Just trying to have fun here. Hey, does anyone want a snack? We have a full, we just have a full potpourri of
Where's the cooler here?
Yeah.
You guys get to see the glamorous side of.
Where's the cooler for the.
Yeah, it's a good question. Thank you. It's a really good question. But it's funny you mentioned Neil Cars. You know, he's bubble.
The forever retired Bob Neil Cars who keeps playing.
Bubble. Delicious here on the number. He's at 158.
Oh, is he one in? So he's one
better. I don't think he's
right there.
I don't think he's going far.
He's in, no. Well, he said he's going to keep playing at courses where he's won a championship, so he needs to just keep playing.
Right. Basically. I think his plan is to play next year at Manchester, and obviously he would love nothing more to maybe call it a career conquered in 2024. I think that would be really special for him to do that. So, you know, it's great to see those guys out there still doing it. And talk about a tournament Steck loves. Bob loves it.
Phil
loves it. Danny loves it. And it's...
Can we interject for a second? Because before I came up here, Danny grabs me. And for those who don't know, it's someone myself who putted 45 years right-handed.
Oh, is this what he was asking you
about? In the last 15 years, I've been left-handed. Danny grabs me as we're walking up to do this pod because he just finished. He had a tough day.
He did not play well.
And he grabs me by the arm. Scott, I putted righty and lefty today.
He did it yesterday, too.
So apparently says anything 5 feet in, he goes lefty. He's right-handed on every other putt, and he's putting lefty. I brought a tear to my eye.
So he played with Jim Jankowski, and I was talking to Jinx this morning as he was walking over the 10th tee, and Jim said, I've never seen somebody switch between right-handed and left-handed during a round.
No, the game.
And he said really? On the long ones, he said, Danny's great. The stroke is great. He's got a great – and then as soon as he gets it within 5 feet, you can't watch. Poor guy. I mean, it's
– So, and then the variation of that is like a Tom Keene who has a short and a tall putter in the bag.
And a lefty.
And a lefty putter, maybe. And just – it's it's picking a litter.
What a game.
You know, we sit here and laugh, but you feel bad. Danny was telling me the story about it yesterday after his round. And
I get it.
I didn't know Ben just told me he's using the same putter.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Two-sided.
It's a different putter.
It's like a bullseye or something. No, it looks like you would go play mini golf.
It's exactly what it looks like. It's gold, too.
Yeah, it's bullseye, basically. That's what it is.
Even my club pro guy.
It's unbelievable. Pitch here. Love it. As someone who's gone lefty, I love it.
By the way, Matt Grover just turned in 3-under.
That's impressive.
That's very good.
But he's playing the front first. Front has been played easier than the back.
Well, you can spray it a little more for sure.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
Want to transition to the other big tourney going on across the pond?
Yeah, let's do it.
There you go.
150th.
Pretty incredible.
Is it what are our expectations for Tiger? Are there?
It's playing firm and fast. Tiger's got a chance.
Absolutely.
He's going to make the cut. Because of how it's playing, I think distance is a non-issue. I think experience at St. Andrews is huge, like huge. So I think between the experience and it playing firm and fast, he's going to play well.
Well, this has sort of been the one that everybody was pointing at, that from a can he actually compete?
And he said it.
Right. And even though, you know, nobody knows Augusta better than him, the limitations of the injury and what Augusta is and having to walk there 4 days versus what St. Andrews is. I think this was the one that everybody said he's really got a chance. What was the last time he played?
What do you mean?
Competitively.
PGA Championship.
It was the PGA.
Majors. That's always played in this year.
In 3 rounds.
Ben is a generational Tiger lover. Your thoughts?
For him in the tournament, like expectation-wise, or just in – so – if he makes the cut, great. He just doesn't look super comfortable still.
Don't you think it's still an old man swing?
It looks old.
I heard he shot 63 practice round.
No one cares about how you qualify in the practice
round. My only point is it's out there.
Totally get it. But St. Andrews is out there regardless.
Something magical is going to happen this week at the 150th at St. Andrews.
Is it not the coolest thing? And we talk about every spring how great the Masters is, and it is. I mean, we love the Masters. I mean, for me, the British Open or the Open Championship second, but when you put it at St. Andrews and you put it at St. Andrews and 150th, and then you see the firm and fast and the weather forecast, come on, right? This will be
something magical.
This will be, I mean, a great weekend of golf. And I just read a little stat that said every winner at St. Andrews has at least finished in the top three at Augusta. So there's a clear Augusta National. If you play well at Augusta National, you play well at the old course.
Same year.
Not necessarily same year. But okay. The point is, you play well at Augusta and you go through it, think about it. Nicholas, Zach Johnson,
yeah.
Right? Louis, who's mm-hmm. always played well, lost in the playoff. Tiger, obviously. I mean, you go through the list of people who won at St. Andrews. They are really good at Augusta National. But I just think it's going to be a special week. The forecast looks great. There's going to be wind, firm and fast, great field. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think anybody who loves the game can appreciate it. In some ways, it's almost like we take that, the Open being there, for granted, because it's you're more so than some of the other courses in that rotation. You feel like you know St. Andrews a little bit better, mm-hmm. but it does feel like, TK, to your point, there's something that's all kind of come together, and you throw Tiger back in the mix at a place where everybody feels like he can compete. It should be.
Is this Tiger's last British Open at St. Andrews?
It's
gotta be.
It's, right? I think it has to be. Yeah.
Why? I don't know, because what's their
going to be there in 5 or 10 years?
Yeah, their road is pretty short.
Well, if it's 5, maybe. If it's 10, I don't know.
So he went to the ceremonial.
I was going to say he may come back just to play it one more time.
How about that little champions, gathering there? I don't know what they call it.
Well, Monday they had one. They have the champions dinner tonight.
No, so what did they have Monday night? What was it?
So it was a special sort of
the formal thing. Yeah. What would they? It was called.
I don't know because it wasn't champions. All champions, right? It was like
it was a mixture. Plays, it was a mixture, right? For sure. But
it was cool.
Pretty cool to blend all of those folks together. I think it was anybody who had won an RNA championship, I believe.
Do we have to touch on the fact that one of the past champions and two-time winners was not invited?
No, it's pretty clear why he wasn't.
Do you agree with it?
I do.
Do you agree with Greg Norman not being invited?
I mean, I don't know. Are we – then do we need to go through every past champion and judge them on the decisions they've made personally and professionally and – how they reflect on the RNA. I mean, that's, look, has the guy acted like a jerk over the last 30 years, 40 years? I mean, yeah, he's pretty clearly.
But that's not the decision wasn't made on the last 30, 40 years.
No, right.
The decision was made the last 6 to 12 months.
I think it's like this. Somebody tries to bring down the NHGA. Are you inviting them to a Labor Day champions gathering?
I don't know. I mean,
So I totally understand the decision. I think philosophically, I agree with the decision. I also think that Greg would have made himself bigger than the event on some level.
Yeah. That's why they.
But part of me thinks, I don't know. I'm not sure I disagree, but there is part of me that thinks that they should have been bigger than Greg. And by saying no to Greg, they almost make themselves smaller that
they way. Legitimize everything that he's doing
a little bit. Now, again, I don't know if you guys saw, and I only heard a little bit before Ben teed off of Tiger's interview this morning. And Tiger said, look, I agree with him and I accept the RNA decision to not include Greg because he's doing things that are bad for the game. I thought that was an interesting, and it's a clear line drawn of you're either with Tiger or you're with Greg kind of thing. And so while I totally get it, part of me thinks they sort of take the high road and say the guy won twice and we let him. And maybe I'd take him aside and say, listen, you're invited, but this needs about St. Andrews and the British Open, not about LIV. So as you come and you don't do a press conference and you don't be Greg Norman.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And that's what you said. There are going to be consequences then if you don't behave yourself.
Well, I don't know. I just think you've won twice. He's won the British Open twice. And I kind of feel like he should have been included.
Acknowledge the accomplishment.
As long as he wasn't going to be bigger than the event. And I think that was where their concern was.
That's the definition of why it happened, right? I mean, he has never shown himself to just fall, kind of do the right thing.
I don't disagree. And I'm not sure I disagree with him not being included. I just, part of me thinks that it makes them look less.
I can understand the perspective on it, sure.
So,
well, and if that's perspective that what he's doing is hurting the game, does that mean LIV guys aren't invited back to Augusta? I mean, are we, is that
there setting the table? There have been a lot of subliminal messages there. Like one sort of, yes, I can foresee it in the future. Arne saying, I don't want Greg at the tournament.
The big Aren't hammer, we waiting for the, Fred's hammer to
the
fall?
The big hammer's got to be fun, right? The big hammer.
Queen sang a song about it.
I just think, as I said last time, Fred Ridley right now, relative to this issue, is the most powerful person in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm totally aligned with you on that.
And if Fred says they're in, then they're going to be in. Yep. If Fred says they're out, I believe that the powers that be will follow in line.
And I think that, hey, you can say, hey, you can go qualify.
Right, but opens, you know, you can qualify. Yeah.
World golf ranking points and all that.
Well, the statements from the USGA and the RNA have been very careful. We're allowing people to play this year based on the fact that they had accomplished
it. They qualified.
But that this is not in perpetuity. Forever. Yeah.
Right.
We can change that decision.
But I'm the one thing I am glad about, to your point, TK, is that at least there won't be much live talk this week. By not having Greg there, it's going to be about the Open. It's going to be about the tournament. It's going to be about the golf course and the history.
Well, think about that, right? Like, we love, you know, and sometimes we sound the same, right, on this pod.
Right.
And so, but if, what about the people that have grown up in St. Andrews, right, with the RNA? That is the history of the game.
Right.
Right. We're talking about, like, recent history. Right. We're arguing about it. What do you think they feel about
right.
it? Like, they're even farther down the spectrum than we are in general, or you'd have to imagine they are.
You would think.
Right. So, all right, let's talk about the field, though.
Go.
What do we think? I mean, well,
go ahead, Ben. Let's get
Benny in here a little bit.
So, pick-wise or just in general the field?
What do you think?
So, I haven't looked at the forecast. I don't know what the draw is. I don't know.
10 to 20, sunny, firm, and fast.
So, way warmer than normal over there.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess that plays into the Tiger
thing. Which, by the way, I love the fact that listening to Tiger's interview, and sorry to interject, but he says the fairways are faster than the greens.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious.
Isn't it great though? They always have the really up high camera angle, and the guy's got to track it for 250 yards sometimes. It's just trundling down the fairway. Right.
Yeah, Mark Conovell was saying this morning that 100 yard runouts on drafts,
and that's wild. You know? Which isn't necessarily good.
Right? No. He said that it can be good and bad,
right,
depending what you're going for.
Now, I think it favors the guys. May not putt it all that great, or don't have to putt it, spectacularly. I think it puts a premium on putting it in the right spot on greens, and it's all pretty flat. It doesn't break a lot.
The greens are huge.
They're
right?
huge. And so they get
putters in their hands from 80 feet.
I totally get that. I like guys who hit it really solid, and I'd be shocked. He's been around every single major for about last four or five, whatever, six majors, and I'd be shocked if Willie is not in the top five come Sunday.
And he plays well.
He plays so good. He hits it so solid. Yes, the putter is sketchy, but it's not that bad when you look
at it. So I love that call. My only caveat to that was and would be is that, again, experience here is so huge.
So
he's young and he doesn't have. Doesn't mean you don't overcome that.
But he hasn't had experience in a lot. Like, he didn't have any experience at Augusta.
True.
He was tied for second the first time, and he was he plays so good and he's so hard. But
I don't think distance is going to be a big issue. So I don't think the bombers will, unless you hit it great.
Right.
But I mean, it's not going to be long from their standpoint. So it's going to be more around the green stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be chipping and putting, and because you're going to hit a lot of greens because the greens are huge.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting that way.
And then just guys who battle in the wind. Who's good in the wind? Right. Like, you take a lot of Texas boys and Florida boys, that usually pays off. Maybe you take Joaquin Neiman as a Chilean.
I know a Texas boy that somebody
who chips and putts really well and played well at the Scottish Open. Yeah, somebody who I have in mind who might do well.
He's got that really attractive pre-shot move.
Well, he fits in the magic category. He's a guy who you'd want to win the 150th at St.
Right.
And who's sort of, after the ups and downs of the last few years, you know, I'm back, I'm winning majors
again. Well, if you want to, you know, float my Jordan guy, which I think is awesome, the other person who would be so deserving with all the BS that's gone on
is Patrick Reed.
I mean, who's been the most eloquent and profound spokesperson in the world of golf in the last 6 months. How about Rory winning at St. Andrews? And I know, you know, we joked about Matt, but boy, you want to talk about magical with somebody in many ways you know, has played great and deserves this kind of thing, you know, that would be a pretty cool reward.
I can get on board with that. Does his ball flight work?
Probably not.
He's the favorite right now, so.
Probably not, but only because he's played so well for so darn long.
Yeah, he has.
But who's playing the best in the world right now?
Shelf.
It's not even close, right? But can you keep playing this well for this long?
So he's had
multiple
back-to-back wins in his career. Scottish. So he's the kind of, he's a hot.
He's won his three last events. Is anyone essentially, if you count the pro-am, sort of, right? Yeah. But
I mean, how do you not throw a little, you sprinkle some money on him regardless?
I just don't know if he's got enough gas left in the tank.
Yeah, and I mean, he's had some issues in majors that pressure's gotten to him a little bit, and it's hard when you're trying to win. And I think that there's something to be said for that, that it seemed like it was, I mean, he competed early on at Augusta, kind of like Zalatoris did. And it's, you know, you would have think maybe he would have accomplished a little more by now. I'm not saying he hasn't accomplished a lot, but it's hard, right? It's
pressure. Well, he was in a drought prior to his recent three wins. I mean, for him,
he wasn't playing great.
Yeah. Four wins.
He wasn't early. Finishing. Right? That was ultimately his problem. And so my bold pick at the beginning of this year, Patrick Cantlay will win a major. Obviously, he has not had a good year, but he's playing well, and he could play well here.
He could.
That is a left field pick for sure. I'm glad you brought that up.
I had to. That was my bold pick before the Masters.
Well, you guys all laughed at me in December when I said Tiger Woods was gonna win the Open at St. Andrews. Because we didn't even know if he was playing.
We're still laughing.
I know, you could laugh, for multiple reasons.
But, you know, and then how do you not say Matt Fitzpatrick is someone you got to keep
an eye on, too?
So.
To me, Colin Morikawa is going to be in the mix. I didn't think he was going to show up at the U.S. Open at the Country Club, and he was there besides his Saturday round.
Yep.
He played three really good rounds.
He missed the cut last week at the Scottish. But
even Justin Thomas missed the cut, and he said, I've never been happier to miss a cut. It's like to get over St. Andrews.
Like, go hang with his boy Tiger for a couple days.
But and also practice and whatnot.
Right.
But, yeah.
So who's our long shot, TK? Because I think,
by the way, let's talk about one of my other favorites in the world is Max Homan. I don't necessarily think he's a long shot. I'm not sure he's going to contend, but is there nothing better than his story last week? Is people the four of us in this room who love golf? He's playing in the Scottish Open, and he finishes his second round. He played early in on the second day. He finishes his second round, and he heard on a competitor podcast, which is fine. You know, the fact he's listening to someone else.
No laying up listens to us as well, Scott.
Fair enough. But he heard how great North Berg was, and he decides after playing in a tournament, he's in the middle of a four-day stroke play, plays in the morning, he says, I got to go play North Berg. And you played there? Did you play?
No.
I played there a few times. It's so fun. It's so fun, but –
So what's the vibe of the course?
Why? Well, first of all, the Redan, the original Redan par 3 is at North Berwick.
Oh, okay.
But it's just another fantastic Lynx course. It's got a par 4 with a wall that protects right before the green. A couple of really cool quirky.
The wall is in front of the green?
Yes.
You go over the wall?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's sort of not necessarily over front to back, but almost more left and right.
Okay.
So it's a short par 4. And your second shot has this literally a stone wall that is on the edge of the green. And if you're right of the green, you're on the wrong side of that wall. And if you're left of it, you're on the correct
side. That is so cool, though.
But it's all part of being 150 years old and all that.
Yeah.
But he saw how cool the course was and decides in the middle of a tournament, he's going to go play, you know, in the late hours of an afternoon.
That dude loves golf. He loves being a professional golfer.
How can you not love that?
Yeah,
I love
like everybody here at this facility. Well,
absolutely,
you know what I mean? But then Max also, obviously, you know, one of his 9 years ago, he said, "I just can't wait to play with Tiger Woods at some point." Right? You know, just throwing it out there. After I think he was coming out of college. Now he's paired with him this week.
Yeah. Oh, did you see that?
Good? Yeah,
it's Tiger, Fitzy, and Homa, I believe. Right?
Wow, how good is that?
Is that good for Max or bad for Max?
I think it's great.
I think it's awesome.
I think he's a guy who embraces something.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. I think he's not. You know, he's not. Oh, this. I'm actually getting to play with my hero. I think he's going
to
love
North
second.
Berwick in the Scottish Open. Now he's playing St. Andrews with Tiger. He's going to be.
I don't imagine him just talking Tiger's ear off. You know,
I don't think Tiger does that.
No,
not much mid round.
Well, Tiger was talking about he got paired in your tournament to the little fun little celebration, the four-hole thing at St. Andrews yesterday. He was paired with Lee Trevino.
Yeah.
He said, he reminds me of our dear friend Shane McDonald. He's referring to Lee. He's like, he talked the whole time. Even when he's standing over his shots, he's over there talking. It made me think Shane had some great shots as he's talking over his golf shots.
We all got a couple of Shane McDonald's in our golfing groups.
But that stuff's great.
So does all that said, is Jordan your guy this week?
Well, I'm not objective. I love the guy. And I think this is a course that fits him well. I think Ben's got a good one, Willie Z. And again, I think, you know, he doesn't have much history here, but Scottie Scheffler is just too good to ignore still.
Yeah.
So those would be the ones that jump to mind. I know they're not reaches, but I'm not sure it's going to be. I think somebody in the top 25 in the world is going to win this week.
Yeah, probably. It's usually a safe bet. Or we'll have a random DP World Tour guy who's contending that none of us Americans have ever heard of.
No Liv?
God, I hope not. But, I mean, you know, how do you know how those guys are playing? I don't pay attention.
I agree.
Are you surprised Patrick's playing? You know, because this is taking away his time from his family.
Well, he probably flew them over here.
Is there a bigger phony?
Who?
Patrick Reed. And Jackass?
We're going back to that.
Billy Marshall brought him out. Called him out.
We're doing whatever at this point.
So featured groups, you got DJ, Adam Scott, Mark Leishman. You got Scottie Scheffler. I'll call him Jay Neiman. Struggled with that first
Joaquin.
Joaquin Neiman. I know. I didn't want to get into that story. I didn't want to say where they met. But let's see. Jordan, John Rahm, and Harold Varner. Interesting third in that one.
John Rahm's had a disappointing
year. Cantlay Burns and Mito Pereira.
You know what's interesting about Rahm? So I didn't, you know, I haven't watched a lot of golf lately, but I did have the Scottish Open on, I think, Saturday, just kind of in the background of doing stuff. And it was a weird setup with the broadcast, how all of a sudden it was on CBS, which I thought was kind of...
Oh, the Scottish?
Yeah, which was weird. But anyway, there was one point on Saturday where he had started out slow, I think.
Who's he?
Rahm.
Got it.
And I think, I don't know who the announcer said, you know, for the last like 4 or 5 holes, he's looked like the best player out. He hadn't missed a shot, you know? So it's there, but it's not all being put together.
I really anticipated him having a great year, and he hasn't really done much.
Well, at the end of last year, he was, had to consider him the best player in the world.
Right.
So here's your last two power groups. Morikawa, McIlroy, Shoffley, Lowry, Thomas, Hovland.
Hold on.
Yeah.
The people understand that we're having our own conversation. Oh, yeah. He's rattling on about something.
Sidebar. Yeah. We just slowed him down.
Well, we just got to make sure we have to do a quick 9 for our guests.
I got to find it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You don't have to think about it, Ben. That's the whole
not
point.
Not going to. Long shot quickly while we have a
second. Yeah, I love the long shot.
I would try and – there's two
guys. Tom Peters got his money on?
That's I don't know. Guy. I haven't asked him. And I'm probably doing this. I'll try and text him quick. A guy who's actually been playing well. I know we mentioned this maybe a quick little joke, but mentioned DP World Tour. Guy's been playing really well, and I haven't really paid attention much, but I've seen him on a leaderboard a few times. Ryan Fox.
Wow.
Has been awesome.
That's yes. a good one. 65 to 1.
Lasers.
Ryan I think Fox, that is a
and then
great
I think,
one.
I think another one that you may want to take a peek on, and these are like T40s, Seamus Power. That'd be my other one.
It'd be an really all-time solid. British Open name.
Seamus Power. Is it like T40? But Ryan Fox has been ridiculous over there.
He does play well over there. He hits a low ball. Seamus Power hits a bomb.
Yeah, kills it. So I just texted Ben's brother, Tom, my son, who loves to do, you know, check the DraftKings and things like that. So we'll get a little family input from who his pick might be for the
British Open. His is probably better than mine.
Whatever. He's good at it.
He's very good at it.
I don't know if dad's ever said his son was good at gambling, but Tom is good at it. He thinks he's good at it.
There you go. He's the Calusa.
He thinks he's good.
He's the bucket Calusa. There you go. Right, we want to do a quick 9 and then our picks?
Okay, yeah, let's do a quick 9. So Ben, as a guest, as I think you know, you've listened to our pod. Mm-hmm. We have a quick 9. No right or wrong answer, just whatever comes to your mind. Lock or ride?
Ride.
Mulligan on the first tee.
Yes, I could have used a couple this week. Yes.
On 10, certainly the first shot of the tournament, no doubt. Perfect question for it, as you said here, stroke play or match play?
Match play. Please, get me out of the stroke play, match play.
Loaded question, because I think you've been to one recently and not to the other, but Scotland or Ireland?
Scotland. Never been to Ireland. I think it would be awesome, but Scotland.
Jack or Tiger?
Tiger. And I, you know.
It's such a wrong
answer. But you said no wrong answers, first of all.
It's totally an okay
answer. I know it is. No, I'm just, I know. When you're, I just got through saying there's no wrong answer. Yeah. As a dad, I still felt the
need. I was going to say, this is totally the father-son.
Can I throw out a quick, can you interject it again?
Yeah. It's shocking, right? All right, let me interject with a stat. I've got a Jack stat for you, just to add to this. But
sure.
So in the 1970s, Jack played in all four majors for the 10 years. That's 40 majors in the 70s. Out of those 40 majors, the question I have for you three is, how many top 10s did he have in those 40 majors?
Jeez, I bet you it's 32.
Matt?
I would say higher, 37.
I was going to say 36. So
35 is a number, which is, by the way, just stop and think about that. 35 of the 40 majors in the 1970s, he was in the top 10.
So
crazy.
The only, that's an unbelievable stat. I saw the other day, they did a stimp meter on greens from 1976 or 7. The fastest green, and these are notable greens, the fastest green they measured was 9.8, and it was Oakmont, and most everything else besides like Oakland Hills was like 7 and 6.
Agreed. I'm not sure. That doesn't
take it away. I just thought it was interesting that I saw that.
Which is amazing.
Which is crazy, because now it's times two.
Right. How much we would complain about that.
Oh, my gosh.
Or maybe we wouldn't. Who knows?
That was, right? The fairway today. It was 6.5.
Rough.
It was so first unbelievable. Cut.
All right. Favorite course you have played and the course you most want to play?
Favorite course I have played.
Beaver Meadow.
Yeah, Beaver Meadow. Hole one.
Greatest nickname for a course. Yeah. The Beave.
The Beave. It's Royal Dornick, and I was fortunate enough to play it a month and a half ago with my family. It was an awesome trip. And then most want to play. I mean, it's very easy to say one that no one ever gets to play, so I'm going to cross it off with Augusta. That doesn't count really for some of us. I would not all of us, but three of four here. I would say probably Pebble, just seeing it on TV. I just think it looks so cool. There's so many cool.
Well, it was Olin said that's his favorite course in the world.
He loves Pebble.
Yeah. I think it looks
awesome. He wanted
awesome
a van out there. He loves it. He goes every year. It's pretty cool. Your fantasy foursome and your favorite foursome.
Favorite foursome is parents and my brother, so the four of us, which is pretty cool. Whenever we get to do it, it's just awesome.
It's as tall as it gets.
Yeah, hard to beat. Fantasy foursome.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
appreciate
you're welcome.
Your
yeah. I would say it's
it doesn't sound like you're making the cut.
No, I don't think you're
making the cut. Oh, shit. He's next.
He was next.
Yeah,
first alternate. A foursome, not a five.
Making anybody's cut.
I would say I'd
love to be in a march. I'd probably miss like any last year.
I would love to play with Max Homa. I think I follow him a lot of stuff. I think he's so cool and he's a funny dude. I think it would be a shame not to add Tiger, just being probably my favorite golfer, easy growing up, and then probably Justin Thomas.
That's cool.
Yeah, very cool.
The three.
The golf day or golf event you look forward to most every year.
Professional, it's the Masters, that's easy. I mean, Masters Thursday gets you going pretty good. But then personally, it's Tommy Keane, September 23, 4, 5, 4, 5, 6, or whatever it is.
I know we haven't had 20 guests yet. I think this is like episode 20.
Oh, we have 50-50?
No. It's for guests, we're close to 100%.
Well,
Masters Thursday.
Masters, no question. Yeah. Has somebody said something else?
That's what I'm
saying. Ryder Cup? Did I hear a Ryder Cup from someone?
No, I don't think so. It is ridiculous that it's just –
I think a couple of times we've gotten besides, you know, the first day of the Masters.
You know, I think especially for being, you know, Northeast podcast, or for the most part, I know you guys have had guests from
all over. We got global listeners.
Totally get it. I know. But that's like, to me, that is the first kind of, it's the golf season.
It's spring.
It's finally spring. Well, we've been grinding through the winter and it's finally like, here we go.
100%.
And it gets everyone kicked off for that. But, did I pass?
No, Tom just chimed in with his picks. We'll add to the end. But, So the last one is obviously the most important one, your go-to post-round right. beverage.
Right.
This is pressure picker.
Yeah. Wow. I'm as a father, I'm very curious.
Yeah, it's not water, and unfortunately, it's going to be something a little heavier.
Yeah,
it's right. an IPA. Any it's IPA. Okay. Give me a good IPA. Fiddlehead's really good.
We sell hundreds of them.
We know the one that we love the most. The Concord Brewing Company.
Safe Space.
Yeah.
Safe Space.
Awesome.
That's what I have.
Yeah. Safe Space.
Hard. Awesome. Just give me a good IPA on draft.
Regular IPA, West Coast, New England IPA.
I like New England's. Yeah. I like some doubles. It just depends, but give me just a good solid draft IPA.
There you go.
Yeah.
Love to hear it.
Yeah.
Love to hear it.
All right. So before we go to picks, I don't know why we need to include Tom Peters in this, but we are because we asked. So my youngest son has Tommy Fleetwood and Seamus Power as his dark horses.
Wow.
Brothers on Seamus. So I said Seamus too. I think Tommy Fleetwood's good.
Tommy and Benny Power.
Yeah. I think Seamus is good. He's playing good golf. Hits it hard. Plays in the wind. Ireland kid.
It's interesting. I mean, he's plus 8,000 to win.
Is that what he is?
That's a lot.
Second
thing. We got guys giggling in the corner about some scores.
No, this is non-disclosure. We can't. Kinsey's here. We can't say anything. Sorry, Kinsey. All right. So what do we left? What do we got left?
I need to know if I'm driving home early or staying until 6 o'clock.
That's still Ben. You got. You're on the bubble. Just get used to being on the bubble.
I'll be sitting there.
About another 15 minutes, we're gonna have everybody turn from the afternoon.
Yes, you're getting an idea.
You'll have an idea. Listen, Ben. Last year you're in far better shape. I didn't think I was making it. We had our pod. I'd been cocktailing, shocker, right? And then about like 5:30, Maddie goes, I think you're going to be in. I had my stuff put away. I was already heading home. My wife was on a work trip. I had parenting to do. Yeah. Nope, you're in a
how'd that work out?
I think it was like 11 for 5. I can't
remember. No, we had a threesome and two. Yeah, 11. I thought it was 4.
Remember, 12 even.
But one guy
one show. No show because we thought we were going to have three full foursomes.
Because he's going home.
And I'll tell you what, we barely got it, and we played three holes to get everybody.
Three foursomes. That's how it went.
Yeah, because you can't send it.
It's too hard, right?
It's a nightmare. Somebody hits the wrong
one. As long as I can make it on a Tuesday, I'm coming to watch that march as long as I can in the stadium. It's fun. It's a good atmosphere.
I mean, look, I'll say this, that it's obviously preferable to nail it on the number from an administrative standpoint.
I get that.
But you know what? I love that we do it at the qualifiers now. You know, our qualifiers are a hard number, which means when we have
– Yeah, there's no
dancing. We don't take any ties. And
Was that an objective decision?
What do you mean?
Well, it was to the tournament director's benefit to not have a playoff afterwards. We wanted to get home.
At qualifiers? No, we do have playoffs now.
Oh, they didn't.
Now they do.
We have hard numbers. We in the old days they used to take. Sorry. We used to take ties. And now we change it to what I think is the correct way to do it is you have a hard number and there's a playoff for those final spots and playoffs.
Have you had challenges with people not staying around out of curiosity?
Not really, because
everyone knows.
Every once in a while, you'll have somebody who just turns in their card and leaves, and you call them, and one 45 minutes away, well, sorry, and it could very well happen this afternoon if we get to that point. But
to that point, guys are 15 over for the most part. You finish and you're like, I'm gone, regardless of the win. Right. You're just mentally, you're checked out. Yeah. You know what I mean? You got to be really engaged and stick around and be ready
TK knows I was up there with the guys in the playoff last year, and you get a kick out of it because honestly, you
tell
see
the story of me, right?
Everybody's nervous. He's got his cell phone out recording everything that's going on.
You had 10 guys that were like, what am I going to do? And I'm like, no, I just love to be part of the experience.
And
like,
people up on the deck. People up on the deck.
To be part of the experience.
It's going to be awesome, dude. No, honestly, I hope you're in without a march.
By the way,
you're going to love it.
I would say that when you went off the front today.
Front today.
It's a pretty damn intimidating tee shot because the first tee is
the wind. It's
right next to the practice putting green too.
It's right there.
And so everybody is there. And now for the playoff, you're going to have everybody there and the members.
If you're in it, you're going to bomb it at the left tree.
Yep.
with your distance, and you're going to be fine.
Well, I tell you, it looks a lot less intimidating when you're sitting on the deck having a beer. And you can a lot easier. I was like, that fairway is wider. Right? Yeah.
Love it.
All right, picks. Go ahead, Peg. You got to take a favorite and a dark horse, Ben.
Dark horse is Seamus Power.
Seamus Power, okay, we'll dark horse, and I'm gonna ride with the guy who's just on the cusp, sniffing at Willie Z.
Like it, TK.
I'm gonna go.
Don't take.
I can't. I can't do it to
you. No, you can have speed, but don't take my other one. I know, but I'm just saying, don't take it.
I love that Tom Peters went Fleetwood, by the way, so Maddie couldn't bust him. I'm taking Fleetwood. I'm going to go with Shoffley. Shoffley as my favorite. All right. All right, I'm going to ride the hot hand.
Yep.
I didn't do that with Scheffler at the Masters. Yep. I was like, all right, he's just going to run out of gas, and he did not. Yep. So I'm riding it. And then my long shot. Are we taking Tiger out of the long shot pool?
No.
He's plus 6,500. Anyways, I hope he competes. I won't take him as my long shot. I'm going to take – here we go. We're looking for the magical.
Don't take me. Don't take the one I think is going to be.
What, your long shot? Or
my long shot.
Have we spoken of him?
No, I just – well, I'm going to tell you who I'm going to take.
Sure.
I think I want to take – he may not be that long a shot, but the guy who is the most enjoyable British Open champion and the best celebration in the last – number of
Shane
years.
Lowry.
Shane Lowry.
Yeah, he's a good
pick. I think so Shane Lowry is gonna hoist a few.
By the way, if there was one
person, that's not your long shot, though, right?
That's as long as I got.
Okay, he's plus 2,000, so he's like.
You know. No, but I mean, not many people are taking Shane Lowry. I think Shane Lowry is.
If there was one person to win at Port Rush that wasn't Rory, he was the perfect.
Was his celebration after?
He's the
fact that he did that was equally as a home game for him too. Yeah.
Totally great. Totally
so. I mean, I love that pick.
No, it's probably not. Long shot. I agree with that part. I agree with that. But I just think that not many people are talking about him. And I think
by the way, Ben is watching me scroll through the odds on CBS. I haven't done a lot of homework this week.
No, you're
busy.
I'm
busy, man.
I'm watching now.
Listen, at least you were here this year. Last year, you flew in on Sunday night. You were exhausted.
Nightmare.
Coming from Indiana.
So where did you
think? No, I haven't even gone. My long shot. I'm looking
at long that shot. Long. Just...
Yeah. Why don't we go with someone like Sam Burns?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, and that's a lot longer than
4,200. Twice as much.
That's a good pick.
It's a good pick. It's not
super long shot, Adam Scott.
That is super long.
Plus 95.
How many tan outfits will he wear?
Four.
My man loves his tan.
Four.
Or Stone.
Yes.
You like Stone.
Remember this weekend, someone compared a guy we were playing with to a combination of Charles Schwartzel and Adam Scott. And I said, that's the greatest comparison. Like, Adam Scott's a top 10 good looking guy on the tour ever. I was like, did you tell him that? He's going to be ecstatic.
Don't tell him. All right, Maddie, go ahead. You got to take him. You just got to announce
it. You said it best with Jordan. I'm not objective. He's who I want to win more than anybody else. That's not say I don't like anybody else, but yes, I want him to win. And for once, you know, this year, as much as he always leaves us wanting more, and why can't he finally do it again? And now are we going to get to what next year will be the ninth? It'll be 9 years, right, since he's won a major. But obviously it would be great. And I think to your point, the history of it for him to win the 150th would be awesome. Long shot. I mean, Ryan Fox was who
Ben took.
I'll
think that's a great pick. The guy's been great on the European tour.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm a loser because I watch them, you know, the Scandinavian Masters every once in a while.
That's not why you're a loser, but I agree with you.
I'm in a one and done pool. I took him in the Scottish Open last week, right?
Did you really?
Mid 40s. I mean, his ball flight is perfect for
low
draw there. Yeah. We saw him hit his tee shot on number 2 at the U.S. Open, which is where one of the entrances comes in.
Yeah.
We just happened to come in as he was on the second tee box. And the second hole was a beast of a par 3.
No doubt.
And he just hit this ball that we literally, all 8 guys, thought he borderline shanked it to the right.
He hits a low, tight
and the
draw.
The way his ball flight went, it goes out to the right and then comes back into the hole. And we're like, Well, that's different. Yeah. You don't see that every day. Everything get 20 feet off the ground, uphill.
Links golfer.
Yeah.
I do think you're right that, you know, I think the long shots are going to have a hard go.
It's going to be top 20, top 25.
Players. And, you know, it seems like the really good players are embracing what this is too. And totally they're all pumped up for it and have been part of all the other activities that have gone along with the week. So.
Well, I think there to go to Scotty's point before, if it's kind of riding on the Tiger team or you're on the other team.
Seems like it.
All of these guys.
Although, in fairness, it probably would be fun to ride on the lift plane.
It did look different. It looks like it can't be a plane that they're on.
And is it not so fitting that Pat Perez was going, "We are the champions," and shot 80?
And 980.
To me, that epitomizes lift.
Make 900.
He's on this. On this plane that you can't even imagine. He shoots 80. He's on the winning team, and he's living large. I mean, to me, that epitomizes the lift tour.
If someone told you that wasn't a plane, what would you have thought it was? Because it
turns to a cruise convention.
Okay. All right then, and that's a good way to end.
No, it looked like it was more of a nightclub.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like a nightclub.
Mind-boggling.
Yeah, sure.
I didn't see the pole, the brass pole, but other than that, it looked like a nightclub.
Swinging around, leg up. Raymond Jasmine's on that plane.
he would be on the live tour.
Ray would have left.
He would have been on the live tour.
He would have been first time.
Raymond Jasmine is on the live tour. No doubt.
100%. See you later, Scott.
All right, well, we got to go watch Ben walk up and down and pace because he's on the bubble.
What's the plan now?
Are you going to sip
and go drink an IPA?
Yes.
I had one up. You need to have an Elvis Coffin
there. What does it look like right now? What is he at right now? It's like 290. I think it's still one.
I think it's 158. It's 1 ounce.
So you're saying you think you're one in or one out?
One out. I thought that. As soon as
there's so much golf left, it's impossible.
As soon as I broke it,
and honestly, I think
that's to 13. Right?
The disparity in the nines, too, is the back being so much more difficult it's hard to get a read even on some of these nine hole scores. Because we had guys who were
we sat down here and it was nine, right? At 3:30,
yeah,
it's 13 now.
I'm telling you, it's
I mean, you had guys who were 37, 45.
There's my prediction. Ben is in without a march,
really.
That's my prediction.
I think it's so is there, 16.
How many 159s are there? Oh, no, you are 159. How many 160s are there? Four currently? Okay.
Four it'll be close. In. It's going to be right there.
I don't like the even number in. I love the want to march. I want to march. Portsmouth was an even number in, no march.
And that was the first of 2 years in a row because we did it the next year at Nashville, too. We nailed it on the number.
Did you really?
Look how excited you are about that.
It's just
every golf fan is disappointed.
Not our curmudgeon.
You're over there with a chubby.
Not our little curmudgeon over here. Rory or bust?
Yeah. Rory, chubby or bust.
Okay, now I think we're done.
All right. All right, Ben, good luck. Maddie,
yes.
Great tournament. TK, let's go have a cold one.
Let's do it. Stay the amateur. Great week.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.